Lesson number 7, victorious in Christ. All who keep his commandments abide in him. By this we know that he abides in us by the Spirit which he has given us. Now, how can we know that he has given us the Spirit? How do we know that? By prayer and meditation. We must think. We must take time to read and think. And that's where we fail. We want instantaneous, without meditation. We read 3 verses. We read 1 little page in a devotional book. And we say, why aren't my thoughts brought into captivity? Well, what are we doing? Are we playing at listening, at living Christianity? We must take time to be holy. Speak oft with the Lord. We've sung that hymn many, many times. He is ready to bring us into that state where the Holy Spirit can commune with us. Any moment we lift our thoughts to him. Part number 1, Jesus is able to keep us from falling and to present us faultless before the throne of God. That's what he is able, that's what he is ever living to do, to present us faultless before the throne of God. He's ready to give us the shield of faith to quench the flaming darts of the evil one. He is ready to give his Holy Spirit to guide us, to direct us, and to give us the victory. We are preparing to meet him who, escorted by a retinue of holy angels, is to appear in the clouds of heaven to give the finishing touch of immortality. When he comes, it is not to cleanse us of our sins, to remove from us the defects in our character, to cure us of the infirmities of our tempers and dispositions. If wrought for us at all, this work will all be accomplished before that time. So I would like to stress in this lesson that now is the time to permit the Holy Spirit to work in our hearts and lives. Part number 2, the standard in the Old Testament is exactly the same as the standard in the New. That's why Hebrews 11 cites a great cloud of witnesses, starting from the very beginning of history, who in every age, in every stage of man's development, lived lives that are accounted worthy of eternal life, of whom the world was not worthy. God thought they were worthy. He's prepared for them a city. He's prepared for them mansions. And so this cloud of witnesses to the achievability of holiness through grace, by faith, through the instrumentality of the Holy Spirit, is to witness to us today. If they can do it, the same God who is the same yesterday, today, and forever will give us the victory too. The same standard, the same idea, the same wholeness of character, which is the meaning of the word shalom, shalem, other forms of that root, which means that we are complete, like health. The word health means we are wholly functioning correctly, optimally. So as you think of the stories in the Bible, realize that these have been written for our admonition, on whom the ends of the world are come. Part number 3, the standard in the New. Jesus says, don't think I've come to destroy the law. There are some Bible students and speakers who say the Old Testament was the reign of law. The New Testament is the reign of grace. What they need desperately is prayer and insight. When Jesus Christ gave the manifesto of the kingdom of heaven that he was proclaiming, he says, don't think that I have come to destroy the law and the prophets. I've come to fulfill them, to realize all that might still be lacking, make them up full. They are eternal, these principles of the law and the prophets. They have been given by one Spirit. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Spirit. Spirit doesn't change. He's God. He's eternal. He's unchangeable. So the standard of the New Testament is exactly the same as the standard of the Old. The same God, the same law, the same ideal, the same method, with different illustrations. The whole sanctuary service had illustrations all its own. Jesus Christ fulfilled them all, and he has given further illustrations of the same procedure. We are told to be perfect as he is perfect. That is, in the same manner, we are to be centers of life and blessing to our little circle, even as God is to the universe. We have nothing of ourselves, but the light of his love shines upon us, and we are to reflect its brightness. In his borrowed goodness, good. We are to be perfect in our sphere, even as God is perfect in his. Jesus said, "Be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect." We've been born into his family. We are children of God. We are possessors of the divine nature. And if you are children of God, you are partakers of his nature, and you cannot but be like him. On to blessing 78. So through the Holy Spirit, these magnificent ideals of Scripture may be attained. Part number 4. Imperfect people can have victory over sin. How many of us are not imperfect people? All of us. So you can put it another way. All of us, imperfect as we are, may have victory over sin if we choose. If we choose. Paul said that God has sent out Jesus Christ to be our substitute, to die for us, to send his Spirit to live in us, that we might grow up in the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That's the idea. God is love. Let's start loving. Love is designing, making, maintaining ideal relationships. Let me suggest an exercise that I like to carry out when I go for my walks. How could you make ideal relationships with your spouse? What needs to be done in the home that you could improve? Anything you can say, anything you can do, anything you can not say, anything you can stop doing? And to your children, how can you establish ideal relationships? That is, how can you love them? In the workplace, your boss, your subordinates, what are the ideal relationships? There's the word kind used in the Bible as the root from kin, relative. A mother is bonded to her child, parents to their children, spouses to each other. They have a kin relationship. How can we be kind? What should we do? And so as we see the ideals that God has set before us, we can pray for the Holy Spirit's help, we can ask for grace, we can ask for faith, and we can begin exercising it. He who has not sufficient faith in Christ to believe that he can keep him from sinning has not the faith that will give him an entrance into the kingdom of God. So if in the recesses of your mind you feel, I haven't got this kind of faith, ask. Ask and he shall receive. Seek and he shall find. Knock and it shall be opened. If parents give good gifts, how much more will your heavenly Father give you the faith that comes through the indwelling Spirit? Not until the people had received light from Jesus did God regard the imperfect works they were doing as sin. He's working to us. He takes us just where we are. But when we accept Jesus, we suddenly discover that we have sinned. And then we get forgiveness and take the next step. Part number 5. Spirit-filled believers enjoy doing Christ's will. Now, sometimes we don't. Sometimes we don't enjoy paying tithe. Sometimes we don't enjoy washing feet at communion. Sometimes we don't enjoy keeping Sabbath. Maybe we'd like to play golf. A good friend of mine was told by acquaintance of his, "I hate Sabbath afternoon. I'd love to be playing golf." To which he replied, "You might as well play golf. You're going to be lost anyway." The feeling that we don't like to do this, and the realization of that feeling, is the working of the Spirit. He wants to change the current of our thoughts till we enjoy doing what God wants us to do. Christ himself calls attention to the growth of the vegetable world, and joined to him, the sap of the vine produces the good food, the good fruit that bless God and help mankind. The measure of the Holy Spirit we receive will be proportionate to the measure of our desire. Do we really want to? And the faith we exercise and the use we made of the light. Wonderful note from Ellen White. The measure of our desire and the faith exercised. May the Lord bless us that this ministry of the Spirit to bring about this kind of ideal living may be really vibrant in our hearts.